Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangler.
You picked a tie? What are we, in Europe? Soccer?
Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah. No, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain Flo.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on
wow.
Show.
Maybe no, I'm from Ellen. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. I'm also going to bring to the stage the assistant editor of Bears Wire. It's Brendan Chagrou. I can say his name right. And if you're listening to this podcast, Rob, I know that you found it out. You can also pronounce his last name, Chagrou. If you want to find him on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Brendan, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's a good Monday. It's a beautiful Monday here in the Chicagoland area. And it's good to talk about some positive Bears stuff happening with the week one of preseason being done and a lot of good things happening in the game. So I can't complain. Football's in the air. It's feeling more like fall and we get to talk football.
It's exciting stuff, dude. I don't know, but I am very excited. It's, you got to temper that excitement because it's preseason, but the eye test definitely got passed really, really quick. Let's also bring on to the stage Jack Wright. Now, if you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at Bear Down Jack. Captain Floos, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing all right. I'm a little winded. I just came in from outside. I've been grinding my face off. I did 100 yards of broad jumps and up downs. And so I'm a little winded, but I'm doing all right. I feel like I owe it to the team to do that.
You owe it to Tyson Bagent.
I do.
Yes, indeed. So I think we're still figuring out this whole Twitter X thing. So a few of you might be hopping in and out. If you're watching after the fact, that's totally fine. But we are paying for social media so that we can get this happened. Speaking of which, that means we need to thank some people. And really, folks, the first person that we absolutely positively have to thank is our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Now, let's get this out of the way. If you are a Chicagoland investor, a business owner, you need commercial real estate expert, look no further than Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. For all of your commercial real estate needs, trust Jeff Cadwallader. Why? Because he's our guy. And if he's our guy, he's got to be your guy. Visit jeffcre.com or call him, text him, 630-254-4734. Now, I'm going to leave Jeff's fantastic picture up there for all of you. And just to peel back the curtain, this dude sought us out. Like, we knew him, but he said, I want to sponsor you guys. I want to. And while we are a small business of sorts, we are absolutely dependent upon people like Jeff taking care of us. And so we are just so thankful for Jeff Cadwallader. Jeff, if you are listening to this episode, you are the absolute utter best. And if you are someone that's thinking about reaching out to Jeff, I'm telling you right now, this is a guy that believed in us. That's someone I want to give my business to, right? If I'm an investor, if I'm someone like that, I want to give my business to Jeff Cadwallader because he is a good freaking dude. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Like, just dangerously good looking, you know?
Like,
I really said that last time. I mean, this is my first time really like seeing a picture of Jeff. Well, at least the last episode that we had. And I was like, this is a handsome man.
Indeed. All right. Let's get to the next one.
Sheridan's Barbershop, located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, has been serving the community since 1954 with six barbers. Sheridan's is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And they have appointments available to book online or by phone at your convenience. You can go to SheridansBarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book yours today. You could also go to their, well, it's not even new anymore, but new to them for sure. You could also go to Hensel's Barbershop, which is located in downtown Naperville. It's been there since 1966. The renovations inside that place are just fantastic. They really opened it up. There's six barbers there. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. You can either walk in or you can make an appointment. If you walk in, there's a clipboard. You put your name on the clipboard, and then whoever the first barber is that's open will take you. You could also go to henselsbarber.com. And you want to make sure that you remember that both at Sheridan's and at Hensel's, it's where traditional meets modern.
All right. So, boys, I want to talk about that 33-6 win over the Buffalo Bills in the technically first preseason game, because the Hall of Fame game doesn't count. You know what I'm talking about. Before we do that, I am really excited about tomorrow night. My wife, actually, she's not a huge football fan. I feel like she knows the game better than a lot of like casual fans. You know, she's like, oh, the kickoff rule looks different. I'm like, I know it is. Yeah. I'm really proud of you. She sat and watched the whole thing, and we've been joking about slip and slides. And so all that sort of fun stuff. So boys, where are you at with your Hard Knocks excitement, enthusiasm? Where are you kind of feeling about that?
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. So I thought it was good. I was impressed. I feel like, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of a concern from, you know, past experiences of being a Bears fan that we're going to look bad in some way or embarrass ourselves. And in fact, I thought it was quite the opposite. I felt like it was an episode that put our best foot forward in a lot of ways. There was a lot of cool stuff going on, you know, from Komet throwing out the first pitch, and by the way, throwing a frozen rope. It was a great first pitch. Dude's athletic, obviously. You know, to the Olympics and Simone Biles, and you know, having Caleb Williams on site, and you know, having Alabama's coach come in and talk to Flus. You know, I mean, I suppose people would say they tried to do too much and maybe there should have been more Caleb Williams. I liked it. I mean, it felt like our town was happening and that it was exciting and that there was like great things going on. I mean, I think like George wasn't in it for a reason, and that was probably good, you know, because I feel like the McCaskies kind of, they've made some good choices lately, but, you know, over time, not the greatest choices. This is a new Bears team. It's a young Bears team, and they profiled that. And I thought it was really excellent. I enjoyed it greatly. I have very few complaints about it.
I'm hard for Hard Knocks, guys. Simple as that. No, I thought it was, no, for real though, I thought it was a good episode. It was a good intro episode. You're not going to see too much early on because they're still establishing things. I'm kind of with Jack though. I was a little nervous because reading reports and seeing some practices and seeing some struggles that inevitably happen, I'm like, oh man, we're going to have to see this on Hard Knocks. How's everybody else going to react? I almost felt like, and maybe, I don't know if you guys agree, but like being as close to the Bears and essentially like watching them and studying them, it felt like we were opening as a collective fandom our doors to everybody else, like a national audience, like, you know, other fans of NFL teams. So I was like, oh, please don't be bad. Please put on a good show. And I thought it really was. Like, I probably, Ryan, you're not going to like this. I wasn't as interested in the Simone Biles stuff. I just wasn't. I knew it was going to play. I just was not as concerned about that. I wanted to see the football things, but I thought they handled Caleb Williams well. I loved the Bulls intro that they did. I don't care if it's corny or not. That fired me up. And I thought it was interesting that they then put in some of his struggles, him missing throws and having to grow through that. The Saban conversation was phenomenal. That was, I could listen to him and Eberflus talk football all day. I love that they obviously were going to give love to Colin Johnson for his Hall of Fame game performance. Selfishly, I was happy my tweet was in it and my legs were in it. So that was kind of fun. But no, I thought it was really well done. It was a great establishing episode. And I'm very curious to see where it goes now. And I wonder how inside Bears they're going to get, because we know some of the struggles that are going on. We know some of the internal things that are happening, like with injuries. So I'm very interested to see how that goes. And one other note, somebody else pointed this out to me, but there was no swearing in this Hard Knocks episode. It was a lot more maybe filtered than unfiltered. Yeah. there was usually you just, you know, F-bombs and everything is going to fly in Hard Knocks. That wasn't the case here. So I do wonder if that was a McCaskey request.
That's interesting. That's something I hadn't really thought of. Just really quick on the Simone Biles stuff. I mean, I think she's been getting enough airplay with what she's doing. I totally get that. I think, you know, obviously you understand it's such a unique situation. Something like this doesn't, I mean, it's probably never happened on Hard Knocks before. You know, I was kind of surprised that they were able to get the footage that they were of her, you know, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't think we'll see any more of that. Hopefully, I would agree with you. I think that we'll probably stick to the football stuff. And Jack, I think you hit the nail on the head. The thing that I was thinking about is, oh man, we're gonna look really bad. I think it was a fun episode, and like maybe that's simply because we are Bears fans. But legit, like I have like Slip and Slide has come up in so many different conversations. Like, what a fun thing for Shane Waldron and all the offensive team to get quarterbacks doing. Like that's cool, you know. And I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
On that note, I mean the Canadian, you know, Eagle. Like, I mean that was just great. I mean, like, for him to like have the balls, pun intended, to be able to do that. And just, I mean, that's like, that is one of those things that is incredibly like, courageous and hilarious. I just laughed. I mean, I just straight laughed because there's that awkwardness and that slow buildup with a song like that, where you're like, oh bro, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And I thought he pulled it off so perfectly. And then in that moment, I was like, this is cool. Our team's kind of cool. Like, he's fun and funny. I guess the only thing I would say conversely is I was a little surprised at how badly Caleb failed at his song. I mean, having done that myself as a freshman in college and like watching that happen every year, I've seen some bad ones and people that just bombed, but he really bombed. And I was a little surprised by that because he's got so much charisma and cool and like kind of savvy. Yeah, it's just like the fact that they ended up throwing like, you know, paper balls at it and stuff. Like, I mean, we're obviously, this has no bearing on his play or is it related to the way he played last time. It's just, I was a little surprised he dropped the ball on that, is all. I thought, you know, QB1, nail it, man. Nail the freshman rookie song, you know?
As long as he keeps playing football the way that I don't care if he never sings again or sings every day and it's off key. I don't care. Boys, let's do this. Let's shift gears a little bit. Patrick Sheldon might be joining us. And Cam Ellis might be joining us a little bit. I know that Patrick Sheldon was having a little bit of a technical issue and Cam had some stuff that was going on, but just as a heads up that they might be joining us tonight. I would love to do this. Can we talk just brief thoughts on the game, without diving into the Caleb Williams conversation. That in and of itself is gonna dominate much of our conversation this evening. We got a lot to talk about with that. So talk to me, boys, just your overall thoughts on the Bears 33, Bills 6, and technically what should be the first preseason game. And like I said, if you could please steer away from Caleb Williams' conversation for this, let's go. Brendan, Jack, and Patrick Sheldon will be joining us in just a bit.
Okay, so Caleb Williams. Hey, Sheldon. Got so confused. So obviously, aside from the quarterback position, I thought the Bears played a very clean, very hard-nosed game. The defense, it was kind of similar to what we saw in the first preseason game a year ago against the Titans, where they just got after the quarterback. So many players had a bunch of sacks. I mean, Austin Booker stood out with 2.5 sacks. I think he had also, not looking at a box score, but I think he had like 2 tackles for loss and 3 quarterback hits at the same time. So he was all over the field. Daniel Hardy was getting after it. The Bears in total had 8 sacks and 9 tackles for loss. Conversely, the Bills only had 1 sack and 4 tackles for loss. And that is off memory, boys. I'm not looking at a box score right now. I am so freaking invested in this team right now. You don't even know. But no, for real though, like I was very thrilled with just how the defense played. Micah Baskerville, I know, Ryan, you tweeted out the video from when we saw him at camp last year. He showed out with a great pick 6, and he had a nice angle to get the ball to the end zone. I think Velus Jones continues to be a roller coaster. I am petitioning Six Flags Great America to rename Vertical Velocity Vertical Velocity because of the fact that he's just so up and down. He looked pretty good at running back, but then his first carry, he trips over the goddamn QB. Like, he doesn't know where he's supposed to go. And then after he scores his rushing touchdown, he muffs the kick. But then he gets yards out of it. Like, it's so difficult. So that stood out. And then finally, Ian Wheeler at running back in the fourth quarter just took the game over. A lot of people were really excited about him as an undrafted free agent out of Howard. Maybe he pushes for a roster spot. Who knows? Only got 2 more games to show what he could do. But I just was really impressed with the depth on this team and players stepping up and playing hard for Flus in Buffalo.
Just really quick. So folks, welcome to the show. Patrick Sheldon. If you want to find Patrick Sheldon on Twitter, it's @P_Shells, S-H-E-L-S, Shells. We're happy that you're here with us, buddy. We're just talking about that preseason game. And then really quick, Brendan, really, really quick, I just want to say this. How freaking crazy was it that almost a year before we talked about, like, one of the first players we talked about, Micah Baskerville, with a pick 6 in practice, and then fast forward to the preseason game, and we're talking about a Micah Baskerville pick 6 again. I just think that was absolutely crazy. Sorry.
Yeah, he was great. Like, I love that for him, and he's a good young player. Hopefully he continues to stick around.
Absolutely.
So I was moving my oldest son, Jack, into Mizzou. So we were watching In and Out. So I decided to go back and watch it a little bit more tonight. And especially since the majority of the talk that we've had, honestly, is about the offensive line, I decided to watch the offensive line pretty closely, like watching and then rewinding and trying to watch every position. So a couple of things stood out to me. First of all, on the very first play that was kind of broken up and Caleb Williams rolled out, and then ended up like real close to the sideline, and then a Bills player smacked him like decently hard. I noticed when I rewound, and I bet you guys can guess, who's the first offensive lineman to sprint over to like make sure that Caleb Williams was okay and to try to defend Caleb Williams?
Guess Kevin Jenkins.
Nate Davis.
Kevin, no, not Nate Davis. Because he is MIA.
I wanted to see Patrick Sheldon's face.
Nate Davis was busy tending to a soft tissue injury at the time. No, it was Tev Jenkins. So it may be like once again, and that I think is something he's proven over time in terms of like his worthiness. Guy on a contract year, like I know we say it over and over again, that guy stays healthy. Watch out for right guard. And if he improves his pass blocking a bit, because his run blocking, there's really no doubts about it, then I think Tevin Jenkins is going to have a great year. guys, I thought Coleman Shelton played a great game. I know it's a small sample size. I think there's a disclaimer over all of this discussion. Yes, that this is preseason, and I understand that. But what I saw was a guy who is trying to win the center position and is like, all right, y'all, take it from me. He played with confidence. His snaps under center were secure. I thought his shotgun snaps were excellent. The only one that he had was high, but it was eye high or helmet high. It wasn't that high, and they were crisp. I mean, they were like getting back there with great efficiency. He looked like he handled all the line calls. Every time they were in formation, like you could tell that he was clearly in charge of making any adjustments that needed to be made on the line of scrimmage. And it looked as though that had been pretty well established through practice. That was nice to see, because we talk a lot about how important it is for those guys to play a lot together, to be able to communicate and gel and almost come to a point of unspoken communication. So that was cool. And then, oh, by the way, he's got a block. And I thought both his run blocking and his pass blocking were secure. And especially because Buffalo was running a lot of twists inside, and he picked up the twists with not only force and violence, but also like efficiency. So, I mean, I don't know like who Buffalo had in, and I don't know if it was their starting one or three techniques. I'm not exactly sure about the personnel, but I got to tell you, like that was very pleasing to me, you know. And then we talked about Tevin already. Prior, I didn't hone in on as much, and I didn't really hone in on the tackles as much, but I just thought, like, you know, especially Ryan, you've talked so much about center, and I think we've all been very concerned about center. If that play continues to escalate, great. Like, I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised by his play and very hopeful for the future when it comes to center. He looked the part, played the part. I was like, oh, shit, we maybe have a center. Brennan?
I was just going to say, to add on to that, I mean, everything you said is right. And then how about how well he got out in front of the DeAndre Swift screen and just laid out that lead block for him, mm-hmm. where he was able to get 42 yards. Like, I was very impressed with him, and I think he's your starting center. I think it's over.
I would think so too.
It would be awesome to have a line picked out by preseason game number two to know, or even three, whatever, to know that this is your starting five and stick with it. You know, I will health allow for that? That's a great question. But yeah, Tev on the left, and then, you know, is it Bates on, because Nate Davis ain't going to do anything, right? So, and then Coleman Shelton at center, like, that seems like a pretty decent.
It's a three deep competition then at left, right? Right. Thank you.
Right.
With,
tackle, yeah.
I suppose Davis, right, depending on health, Pryor and Bates. I mean, if that's the case, then I suppose that Poles did his job in terms of, like, there's a competition at those positions and there seems to be some depth, and obviously guys are going to get hurt. So, you know, I don't know. I was just more hopeful overall in that regard. The only, like, things that I was a little concerned with, I didn't love stalling out on both drives. I really hope that maybe in the future, even though it is preseason, we can go for the juggler and score in those positions. I didn't like, you know, that we were inside. I think we're at the 12, I believe. We had a running play. It stalled out, I think. And then I think DJ Moore had single coverage on the top, Miller pointed out, and like I would like to see us audible and like and take a shot at him with a slant or something. And again, some of this is probably going to come as they have more time to work together and gel, but I'd like to see that kind of like savvy we always talk about, because the drives were nice, but I didn't like seeing us not finish either of those drives. So I hope that's kind of the next step that happens.
So Shells, talk to us. We're putting we're tabling the Caleb Williams conversation. So everything outside of Caleb Williams, what are your thoughts on the Bears 33-6 win over the Bills?
Oh, I thought we were here to talk about Tyson Bagent. I'm sorry, guys. I got to hold on. I
check your notes.
I got to scrap all these notes. This is you know what, Jack? Like, it's interesting you brought up the offensive line, because my first impression in watching them was the same as yours. But I think the difficulty for me was trying to reconcile a lot of what we've been hearing from the reports out of camp, that the offensive line, particularly the interior, has been getting kind of blown up. So that was my first thought, was, is it a personnel thing? Are they just throwing, you know, vanilla defenses at them? Because I was encouraged, but it was so kind of antithetical to what we've been hearing coming out of camp about the offensive line struggling, at times. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, you know, I think my feelings about Nate Davis have been made pretty clear on Twitter. I don't want the McRib anywhere near this team for the rest of the season. I do think, I mean, going back to something we said way back when, at the beginning of the season, and I forget who was on with us, but we had talked about the depth on the offensive line that they had added, and it felt like the competition was more stringent this year, right? And so they may have added some depth pieces last year, but nobody had any delusions that those guys were going to get real playing time. And if they did, we were going to be in big trouble. But it does seem like a couple of guys they brought in have really challenged and competed for some of those jobs. But I'm with Ryan. I want the unit now. Let's go. Let's get cohesion. Let's get some time for them to gel. That's what worries me, is like, are we gonna do this thing where Nate Davis is suddenly cured of his soft tissue injury week one, and then we plug him in? I want an available unit to be going on all cylinders from now until the start of the season, because I think it's critical, not just for them, but for Caleb Williams to get that kind of rhythm. You mentioned stalling out on that drive, Jack. Yeah, the play call, I guess, could be in question, but it looked like, not to do the still shot thing, but it looked like Herbert, had he cut back inside, had at least a first down, probably an easy touchdown. So, you know, I know you like to put a little bit more blame on execution than the coaches. So let's put a little bit more of the blame there. I'll pull one out of Jack's bag, but yeah, I mean, my overall impressions were positive. I didn't watch the whole game. I'll admit I turned it off shortly after Caleb Williams left the game. But those are my takeaways from the beginning. But I'm not going to get too worked up one way or the other over the preseason.
If Coleman Shelton plays like that for most of the season, I will not complain about center. You know, it's small sample size, as we've already said. It's a preseason game, as we've already said. But I'm definitely encouraged by a lot of things. You know, one of the things, and I'm planning to talk about this a little bit later, but you know, we can hit it right now before we get to the Caleb Williams conversation. Shane Waldron, you know, one of the knocks on him by droves of Seattle fans is inability to run the ball, not a commitment to run the ball. Okay, in the passing game, but just really couldn't do it with creativity or what. It was interesting to watch him run the ball with a lot of different running backs, a lot of different people at running back. And so, you know, is he just, he's playing the preseason game saying, hey, I'm going to show all types of runs and we're just going to be passing the ball almost exclusively. I have no idea. But what I will say is this, is it's preseason game and I was excited to watch it. It was fun to watch from lots of different reasons. You know, whatever quarterback was back there, it was fun to watch on all sides of the ball, offense, defense, and special teams. And so I enjoyed thoroughly watching the Bears beat the Bills in a preseason football game. That's what I'll say about that.
I think I was trying to watch for things that have often gone wrong and then not take for granted that they didn't go wrong, you know? And so I guess one of those things that I was a little confused and concerned about DeAndre Carter on the very first punt that the Bills had. Do you guys know what was going on there? Like, I don't understand why he didn't field that. I don't want there to be, you know, Santos comes out, like my son Jack was joking, that's when he goes to the bathroom, because you know Santos is going to freaking hit it. Like, I'd really not prefer, with all the things that we seem to have locked down now, that we're like wondering about the punt returner. Am I making too much of that? I just found it a little confusing. He didn't field that ball. He seemed lost out there.
No, I was with you. I mean, he it looked like he misjudged it. I think the winds were playing, they were kind of a factor in Buffalo. I think he also knew, like, afterwards, he's like, I should have done that. He's a veteran returner. This isn't like Dante Pettis back there or anything, not being able to judge when to let it bounce, when to let it catch. And then for Santos, Patrick Scales has been out for the last couple of weeks. So Cameron Lyons is the guy that they signed off the street to long snap. One of the snaps was low, I believe. That impacted the hold. Also, keep in mind, Torrey Taylor is a new holder, so they're trying to establish that chemistry. And then not to make excuses too, but they're still the wins. So there was like, that does need to get cleaned up, but I think those few things can kind of explain why the operation wasn't as successful. Although Santos hasn't had the best training camp. He's missed a few and he's doinked a few as well. So he, I'm not worried about him yet, but I think they're still trying to establish the chemistry.
Folks, we want to welcome to the show this evening, Cam Ellis. Now, folks, if you want to find Cam on Twitter, it's at Kingsley Ellis. Cam, it has been too long, my friend. How are you doing? How is life treating you right now?
Fellas, how are we doing? It's nice to see everyone. Life is good. I can't complain. It's, you know, it's late August. It's the dog day of the summer. So I have been getting my fill out here in Colorado. So things are good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. So, Cam, I'm curious. We've tabled the Caleb Williams conversation. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And yeah,
what else is there to talk about?
Well, that's what we're trying to get out of the way so that we can have a lot of Caleb Williams conversation. And so, any just general thoughts on do you take any stock into the Bears beating the Bills? Anybody else that stood out to you, or anything else along those lines that you thought about after watching that game?
Yeah, I'll just be totally honest with you guys. I didn't watch it. it was a Saturday at like, what, 2 p.m. or something. Like, I did have other things to do. So I'm glad you guys talked about this earlier because, you know, like, it's the second preseason game. It's score lines are sort of irrelevant. Like, it's cool to see them win, I guess, by that many. Like, it's just fun objectively to win. It's just... Is that better? Yeah. Is okay. Good. It's cool to see them win, I guess, like that anytime, just objectively, if you win 33-6, like that's fun to watch regardless of who's playing. But otherwise, no, like it's these 3 weeks are all for the nuance. And I don't think that wins and losses are very nuanced, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So boys, I know we've all been kind of salivating to do this. Let's get this out of the way. Let's talk. Caleb Williams, he's ready for the Hall of Fame. It's way too early. It's a couple snaps. You just liked what you saw, things that maybe stood out to you. The Caleb Williams conversation. Keep in mind, boys, we've got four other people that want to say something. So for this one, let's go technically that same order. So let's go Brendan, Jack, Patrick, Sheldon, and Cam. I will finish it up after that. So just your Caleb Williams thoughts. Go for it, boys.
The biggest thing is he just looked like a natural out there. And I think you could probably hear that and say, well, of course he should. He's a freaking quarterback. Like, that's what he's doing. But how many quarterbacks have we seen in this town who have terrible footwork, bad arms, lackadaisical in the pocket? I mean, literally, you could just go Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, and Justin Fields in that order, unfortunately. Caleb had the full package when it comes to having great mechanics. His feet were just everything was deliberate, and he was so in tune with what he was doing inside and outside the pocket. I mean, I was watching a few quarterback breakdown videos. I loved how actually I'm going to give credit to Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears, who pointed it out first. The fact that like he's deliberately moving the ball away as he's running to avoid any sort of fumbles, like that sort of attention to detail. He's making calls at the line already. He's dissecting what the Bills are doing. And Jack, you said it, they're throwing a bunch of different fronts and twists and, you know, different looks pre-snap versus post-snap. And he's taking advantage of it. I'm Bearing Down, one of the best accounts on Twitter, pulled out a great clip of him actually scrambling and him explaining why he did what he did. I just thought he looked so natural, so comfortable. Obviously made the big throws, like the one to Cole Kmet on the sideline. I love the third down throw where he just stepped in and fired a dart to DJ Moore, who is still pretty much like triple covered. He fit the ball right in there nicely. DJ ran a great route. I'm very excited for not just like the passes he made, but just how he looked in the pocket and how comfortable he was moving inside and outside to get rid of the ball when he needed to. I'm ecstatic, and that's exactly what you want to see. And frankly, I was nervous going into the game. I didn't know what we were going to see. I left feeling a lot more positive and just comfortable that I truly think that this guy can play quarterback at a high level for the Chicago Bears after seeing just that little bit. There's still a ways to go, but I left feeling very positive.
I mean, the first point is a great one. They're all great points, Brendan. But that first one, I think, again, going back to that thing I said about things that we can and cannot take for granted. And it used to be a thing that we would have to sit around and talk about, like, which like foot Justin Fields had forward, like when he was in the shotgun, and his footwork and his delivery and arm angle and mechanics and all that stuff. It's nice to have a ready-made quarterback who, like, we're not talking about any of that stuff. Like, he gets all of that and has a certain natural ability to do that. I think the three plays that really were outstanding was the one that you mentioned, Brendan, to come out on the sideline. Again, sitting in my son's new apartment, and he threw that ball, and Jack and I looked at each other, and, you know, just like jaws dropped, like on the move, off balance, frozen rope on a dime, great ball. The arm talent is incredible. And that's so fun to see. Like, that's just really fun to see. And then, you know, the creativity with the screen flip to Swift. I think that showed another element of Caleb that was really fantastic. And then, you know, choosing to run when he did scramble. And I thought the burst, like, first of all, the decision to run, making it quick, and then the burst that he showed, and then the slide. Again, things that haven't been simple in Bears fandom that he did with a certain amount of ease that just made you smile, right? Like, just made you smile. So, I mean, yeah, definitely high hopes. I thought he looked great.
So we're already off the Brett Rippon train, I guess. Okay, so no Tyson Bagent note. I mean, I'm just going to throw my notes away here, guys, because I've got nothing left to talk about.
You still got Austin Reed, Shells. Don't forget him.
Not what I was prepared to talk about tonight. I had no idea you guys were going Caleb Williams. Thanks for the heads up via text, guys. no, I think that's a great point, Jack. It just – not agonizing over the little stuff. I'm with you, Brendan. I didn't know what to expect either. Didn't want to get too high or too low off the preseason. I will admit that at the beginning, I had a little bit of Justin Fields PTSD. I saw him kind of in the pocket, what I felt like was a little bit too long, but it's just me not, I guess, being too familiar or familiar enough with him. Because he seemed to do a much better job of keeping his eyes downfield. So he does seem to hold the ball a little bit longer than a lot of quarterbacks, but I think it's with the intent of passing first, and he seems much more aware in the pocket. So it eased some of my concerns as the game went on, or his snaps went on, where he seemed to have more control within the pocket and a better understanding of what he wants to do with the ball, where maybe it felt like at times Fields was just kind of searching for, you know, something, anything to open up, whereas Caleb kind of had an idea what he wants to do and was in complete control. I thought, to me, kind of in that same regard, my favorite play wasn't really a sexy one, but I think it was DJ Moore. Don't quote me on that if I'm wrong, but there was a kind of naked boot and he rolled out to the right and he could have ran it, taken off for the first down. And I think it was DJ Moore he had, but kind of just how he made that decision. You know, we talk about getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers, and he threw a strike to DJ Moore and let him do his thing and go get the first down. It just seemed a lot cleaner of an operation. And so for all the talk of getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers, he certainly did that, whether it was a screen to Swift or that naked boot to DJ Moore. A lot to like there and a lot of positives to take away. Looking forward to next week.
I think this is maybe the first conversation where all four people that talked have been like smiling and happy. Like, I don't know how to react to this when everyone's just like, yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was nice. yeah, I think the word that stuck out that I can't keep out of my head is quiet. Like, it was just everything, not in a bad way. Like, his legs were quiet. The body movement was quiet. There was a lot of body language within the play that I had not been used to seeing Bears quarterback make, sort of to Brendan's point, is that, you know, there are so many of these small little bad habits that the last 3, 4, 5, 12 quarterbacks in Chicago had gotten used to. And so much of the conversation was, especially during the week, was, oh, how are they getting rid of this weird hitch or these weird cross steps or whatever it may be, right? Like, there are a litany of answers. And, you know, in the 7 passes he threw, like, you saw someone who was very clearly has been coached by elite coaches his entire life and knows what to do, but is also just extremely naturally talented. Like, it to me, it was not, I'm so used to seeing Bears quarterbacks in the preseason kind of still learn how to play quarterback versus also just learn the offense. And Caleb Williams, like, it looked like he knew how to play quarterback and was learning how to play in the Bears offense instead of having to do both, which I think is a very large difference, in my opinion.
What, this is why we hired Cam Ellis to be on the show. What a brilliant way in which to look at it. Boys, the one of the things that I'm clearly not the first person to talk about this, but I don't think we've emphasized this enough, his quick release. It is staggering, the difference between Justin Fields' release and Caleb's release. Like, there, Justin's arm talent was never in question. Like, absolutely never in question. He could get it in there, but it wasn't, you know, we're not talking Tim Tebow bad release, but nowhere near as like all this. Just look at it's the ball's already gone. And I think, Patrick Sheldon, this is a little bit what I was thinking about when you were talking, is, oh man, is he holding the ball too long? But he also understands that when he's ready, it's already gone. Like, the ball is already out. And that's something that I can't remember a Bears quarterback having this quick of a release with also this strong of an arm. You guys see what I was talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I think that 3rd and 12 that Brendan mentioned was that, I mean, that's a play that you could easily just kind of like ignore, except that as Bears fans, we don't ignore that because that's just not something we've seen very often. Like, the drop, the poise, the read, he threw it purposely low, like waist and below, so that it was away from the defenders on a rope on a 3rd and 12 to move the ball to first down. I'm not sure we had chances on 3rd and 12 unless Justin ran. I mean, like, I think we really thought, well, like, we could get this if Justin scrambles, but that was a totally different variety of like moving the chains.
Caleb's pretty quick. I mean, he's not Justin Fields quick. He's not Justin Fields elusive. But on his scramble, you're like, oh, damn, kid's got wheels. Like, yeah. There's a reason why this kid was picked number one overall. And you're right, Cam, that's such an interesting way to look at it. You're right. Someone who's been playing quarterback at an elite level for a long time, fitting into Shane Waldron's system. Boys,
Like, I'm not used to seeing Bears quarterback bail out of the pocket after the third or fourth read. Like, usually it's the first or the second read for 7 seconds and then bailing out of the pocket. This game, in this, you know, the small sample size, it was 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then bailing in the same amount of time. So, like, you can see the processing happening already faster than it has in prior examples, I thought, at least.
What do you want to see in this next preseason game? What is important for you to see out of Caleb Williams in this next preseason game? Anybody?
I mean, him playing? I guess he's not going to, like, they might not play at all. But no, I mean, I think it's just consistency. Like 7 passes is not, it's enough to be excited about on a podcast, but it's not enough to, like, put any sort of hope or faith. I guess it's probably too late for that conversation, but like it's you just want to see it in 15 passing attempts or 22 passing attempts, or, you know, when defenses are playing a little more complicated. I'm not a smart enough guy to know whether how true this is or not, but from everything I read, the Bills didn't exactly like blow the Bears' mind in terms of what they were doing. They were kind of just getting guys out there and having them play football. So I don't think you need to see, at least I don't need to see any one specific thing. It just needs to look like it did last Saturday again.
I would like to see Caleb and Rome connect. I know they tried. There was 2 targets to Rome. One of them was probably the worst pass because the guy was draped all over him. And some people are trying to say, well, Caleb knew the flag was coming. I'm not going to buy that. Maybe it's true, but I just thought it was a tick late. And then the one pass in the end zone where he thought Rome was going to the corner, he tried to give him a chance, but he sat there. I would just love to see those two connect because those are the two hotshot rookies. We saw a lot of DJ, we saw a lot of Cole, and then DeAndre Swift. And yeah, I think like if he had one drive and he got maybe 10 plays and a touchdown, that's all I need to see. But as Cam said, there is a chance that he doesn't play on Saturday because the Bears do have a joint practice with the Bengals on Thursday. Now, Eberflus did say that before the preseason started that he wants to get Caleb between 45 and 55 snaps in the preseason, which is kind of like what CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson got last year, right? He played 20 on Saturday. So you could kind of see like maybe he plays one series, gets a little bit in there, and then plays a little bit more in the final game. So, but yeah, I don't really need to see a lot because I saw enough to be encouraged by what's to come in week one.
Can I ask the credentialed insider Bears reporter, is Roshan hurt? Is he nursing an injury? Because I would like to see him on the ball.
He was hurt. That's why he wasn't. He was out for, I can't remember if it was the full week, but he was definitely out the few practices before the preseason game. That's why Herbert got a lot more work early on.
Is Khalil going to be on this team? You know, with, I can't believe I'm, you know, we're talking about him again in a different capacity. You know, Velus, dude, that couple of those runs, he looked good. You have to admit it, right? Before he botches special teams plays like it's his job. Wait, it is his job. You know, so does who's playing running back? Does Velus make it to this roster? What are you guys kind of thinking about that? Brennan, hit us up. I know you really want to hit us one, and Captain Floose is ready to Velus it up.
No, I'll call an audible. I'll have Jack go first.
Well, first of all, I will say that I've fully relinquished my, you know, ardent support of him. I think at this point it's trying to justify a third round pick, and this is last chance. I mean, okay. You can call me an idiot and I will fully accept that. But for just a second, when I thought about him being in the backfield and after watching Receiver on Netflix, I thought if they could do anything that would be a semblance of Debo with Velus, I mean, anything close to the types of packages, sets, and maneuvers, then that would be pretty freaking cool. Now, again, I realize that might be a big ask because he's not, again, just go start punching me in the face. I get it. But I don't know. I thought that would be kind of a cool little niche if he could somehow pull that off. But I think, honestly, in my heart of hearts, I know it's like, this is last chance you for that guy.
Just go back to 2 years ago. That was the whole thing when he came out. Like, he could be Debo Samuel light. Like, yeah, this is it, guys. And it's just so funny that we're back to that point 2 years later after all this shit we've seen from him. If anything, he's discount Cordarrelle Patterson, because Cordarrelle was kind of terrible as a receiver, but somebody figured out, more so Matt Nagy figured out that he was a better running back than receiver and gave him carries there. Extended his career along with being a returner. But in terms of Khalil Herbert, I truly don't know. Early on in the before camp began, I had a bold prediction that said Khalil Herbert was going to be on the roster bubble because I think it could go either way, not because of his skill set, but because of just the logjam that are there. DeAndre Swift is easily the starter. I think they want to see what Roshan Johnson has because he's a bruising back and he kind of fits that yin and yang with Swift a little bit. Travis Homer, special teams ability, not great as a runner. He does have like a $2 million cap savings if you do choose to move off of him. So there's that. I mentioned early on, Ian Wheeler could surprise. So it's like somebody's got to go, unfortunately. They're not going to keep like four running backs. And then there's also Kari Blasingame. The thing with Khalil Herbert is he's a great one-cut runner. He doesn't have great hands. He does offer something on special teams, but he really hasn't been a returner for the last year or so. That was more so his rookie season. So I just truly don't know how this coaching staff feels about him. I do think they like him enough where if all things were equal, they would love to keep him. I just don't know if they see more value in what Velus Jones could potentially do as that home run hitter, if they want to get Roshan more work, and if they like Travis Homer's special teams ability. I don't know at this point.
It's interesting as to thinking about how running back has become a position that they do have quite a bit of talent, and you're right. And each of them having a vastly different skill set. You know, the Velus thing, he shows flashes and it's, you know, it's, we've seen a lot of guys that come through Chicago that show flashes and you go, let's keep them. And so I do wonder then, does Poles say, hey, we saw flashes, but we're not seeing enough consistency. It's time to let him go. Then who steps in at receiver at that point? Because it's, at times he looked really natural running the football from the running back spot, you know? And so, and you cannot deny his speed, but just, he seemingly is a liability in so many other areas, and it's the, at key moments. So I just, yeah, I'm going to be really curious to see where we kind of end up with running back. Boys, I want to totally shift gears. We already talked offensive line. And so let's talk Austin Booker. Let's talk the defensive line, because there were sacks aplenty in this game, and just kind of your overall thoughts on defensively where we're at. So feel free to chime in, boys. Just any thoughts, any of you guys that are out there that you want to chat. Cam and Shells, haven't heard much from you guys. I don't know if there's anything. Do you take a guy that has what is it now? Someone do the math for me. 4 sacks, 5 sacks.
My gosh, how does he walk?
I mean, like, it makes you, I guess, wonder if that's why the Bears didn't go get another guy a month ago or something. Like, I feel like for the entire summer, everyone's like, "Wash in August, the Bears are going to go get someone. Like, this is going to happen again." And it just, maybe it still does. Like, I guess there's still Labor Day to do it. But if it doesn't happen, like, you look and see why. And you're like, oh, yeah, it turns out the Bears coaches knew more about their roster than guys writing about it on the internet. So, yeah, like, I don't know enough about Austin Booker. I don't know enough about the Bears' plans to be like, oh, you know, his bull rush is great, but his twist was not good. Like, I don't know. Like, he's putting up numbers that you can't deny that. Like, you can, like, a sack is a sack regardless of, you know, how you want to look at it. But it's a very preseason story, I feel like, right? Like, there's always a guy who just puts up stupid numbers, whether on offense or defense, and you're like, oh, this could be a guy. And maybe he is, but, like, it's sort of the same thing with Caleb Williams. Like, I take preseason seriously, but I don't take 1 week of preseason seriously. Like, I'll take 3 weeks of preseason seriously. And I mean, Austin Booker, as much as anyone, is on his way to putting together, like, a comprehensive preseason. So in that sense, it's good. But I'll hold my reservations for week one and going forward.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with my original take on it. And that is that I think it would be extraordinarily difficult for a guy who was drafted when he was drafted, who played as little as he played, to come in as a rookie and be an immediate impact player, a starter or a quarterback pressurer, or, you know, get a lot of quarterback sacks. Like, if that happens, I feel like, well, that's a lottery ticket, man. Like, again, Poles, good job getting back into the draft and taking that guy. But I got to think, once you start to get into the regular season and you start to get against some of those, like, stalwart tackles on teams where there are veterans, they get a little film on this guy, and it's no knock on him. I just think it's like anything else that we talk about, like, playing the position at the NFL level takes a great deal of time and practice and repetition and mastering the moves that it takes to, I mean, let's all also remember, playing defensive end is one of the toughest spots on the defensive line. Because not only are you supposed to string out any plays that go to the sidelines, like sweeps, for instance, and set the edge on those plays and not get hooked, you're also then supposed to, like, be able to come down on the interior and be able to make those types of plays. It's beyond just rushing the passer, which I understand is, like, the glamour part of talking about defensive ends. It goes way beyond that when it comes to playing that particular position. I don't think it's as complex as, like, learning tight end, for instance, but there is a great deal of complexity because you're on the edge. It's different when you're a one or you're three technique and you're given some specific select jobs that you have to do. But when you're playing on the edge, like, same with corner, you know, like, I always thought, like, that was one of the most difficult positions. Hey, don't get beat deep in cover three, but also don't forget to come up like a banshee if they run a sweep your way. You know, you got to get past the corner, keep leverage on the outside, and still be able to make a tackle. So I mean, I'm not trying to be a buzzkill with the kid, but I would be surprised if a guy drafted in that position that young with that little experience was an immediate impact player. And if he is, awesome.
Last couple of years, I feel like we had a guy, Trevis Gibson or Dominique Robinson, where we kind of felt similar, where they were still pretty raw, but they were really athletic and maybe did okay in preseason. We got kind of excited. I'm gonna take the wait and see approach as well. And with Jack, I'm not expecting a whole lot out of him. I think there are gonna be opportunities for him, but you know, I think he's probably getting by a little bit on speed and quickness and some athleticism right now, but he's got to learn the position, because you're right. Like, once he starts going up against some top tier tackles, and they do get some film on him, he's going to have to kind of broaden his repertoire and figure out other ways to get to the quarterback. So, you know, let's wait and see. Let's wait for him to develop. I mean, if he turns into somebody who's really contributing this year, it's great, but I hope the Bears aren't going into this like relying on him and didn't go out and get somebody else because they're projecting a huge, you know, year out of him. Cause I that's an exception, I feel like, for a guy, like you said, Jack, drafted where he was with as little experience as he has. So, I'm going to pump the brakes on him, but encouraged, I'll say, by what you see so far.
I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid a little bit. I understand why you guys are being as guarded as you are. I heard from somebody who talked to the Bears people, whatever. Even they were surprised at how he's flashing so far, because it's been consistent throughout camp. We saw it in the Hall of Fame game too. He wasn't able to get after the quarterback in the Hall of Fame game, but you saw like the pressures and the constant ability to create havoc on the line. And then it just furthered against the Bills. I kind of disagree too, that like, I think he actually has a pretty good bag of tricks with what he's able to do. He's got a nice spin move. He's long. He can use his long arm to get through offensive tackles. He needs to get a little bit stronger, but he's still good when it comes to a bull rush. Like, I'm impressed with how much he's able to do, because certain guys have their kind of signature move, and he's showing a bunch of different things to get through the offensive line. And the fact that he not only had 2.5 sacks, he has a good motor to kind of finish up those sacks when the quarterback gets flushed. 2 tackles for loss, so he's able to do it in the run game. I do think Jack makes a great point, though, where it's not just pin your ears back and go after the quarterback. You have to be able to identify runs, and if you overshoot your gap, then you're leaving a hole open for a running back or a screen to potentially get through. So you need to be able to diagnose that. But I really think the Bears coaches they thought he was going to be more of a project than he actually was. The word raw comes to mind. Maybe he's not raw. Maybe he's just unproven because of the fact that he didn't play as much in college and he showed a lot this past year. I go back to what Daniel Jeremiah said during the draft. If this guy stayed one more year in college, you're talking about a first round pick in 2025. Like, that was insane hearing that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, getting this guy in the fifth round, but now seeing what he can do in games and hearing about things in practices, I'm really believing the hype. And I think he's not going to be a starter week one, but if you can rotate him in with guys like DeMarcus Walker and get him more and playing meaningful snaps as the year goes on, I think that's going to be a huge win.
So do the Bears have the type of defensive end stable that, like, I think Cam alluded to, that they may stand pat because the coach know that they are good? Or are we – what's the chances that we're going after Jets' holdout, Hassan Reddick? Any chance that that will occur? We've got the cap money.
Yeah, but he wants a new deal. Best
pass rusher in the last 5 years, I think.
I mean, if he wants more than like $20 million a year, like, I know Spotrac valued him at $26 million, which is insane. Like, absolutely freaking not. I mean, maybe it makes Matthew Judon more available, but also, like, so the Bears created cap space in restructuring or extending DJ Moore. They paid out a bunch in a signing bonus, so his cap number in 2024 is super low. They could do something midseason like they've done the last 2 years, like a Montez Sweat kind of deal, maybe for an edge rusher that they know is not going to get extended. Maybe it does become Judon or Reddick if he's holding out. I truly doubt it's going to be Reddick, but I know where you're thinking, Jack. Like, it could be a bigger move like that. I just don't think it's going to happen right away. I think they need to see what they have first and see how the season goes.
Only thing I'm going to say about Austin Booker is he looks natural and he looks comfortable. in a way that I wouldn't expect someone in the fifth round to be. And I think, you know, Cam kind of hit the nail on the head. It's a little bit early and guys aren't necessarily prepping for him, right? Shells, I think you said it, like, we don't necessarily have film on him yet, but I don't know, man, there's something about this kid that just, you know, he seemingly is doing this in a lot of different ways, as Brennan has said. And so I don't know. I'm excited, cautiously optimistic, as I think I always am a little bit in the preseason, but I just, and I don't feel like I've said this the last couple of years. I really don't think I have. If I have, you guys can call me on my bullshit, but this team feels different. It feels different than last year. The preseason, you know what I mean? Like, just the players that we're watching, the pieces that we're watching, it feels different than previous Bears teams that we have watched. Do you feel that way? Am I drinking too much Kool-Aid? What do you think there, boys?
Well, I mean, I think two factors, the talent and the vibe, do tend to be a little bit different than what we've seen before. And I think, like, the level of talent, the roster, this is the best roster we've seen since. I don't know. I'll leave that to you guys, because you're better at the Bears history than I am. But I just think, like, this is the best Bears roster we've had in a long, long time. And just watching the wide receivers work together and how much I know, like, we've talked about this before, the level of culture and, like, how much that has an effect. But I do think, like, there is a huge factor when it comes to, like, playing with guys you like and like to be around. I think that camaraderie, I do believe that does make a difference, just, you know, as a former player and coach, and being in bad situations and seeing how that plays out, and being in really good situations where the vibe is fantastic.
I've embarrassed myself too many years getting too excited and drinking too much Kool-Aid and buying into things that, you know, these mystical ideas of vibes and auras and whatever. I'm, you know, cool. I get it. I'm still going to just kind of hang tight and see how we do in the first week of September. Because while it may feel different, I don't know that any of that really makes a difference if they can't get out there and execute in week one. And to me, there are still some question marks until I see it in a regular season game, repeated multiple weeks in a row. You know, I'm call me scarred, call me jaded. But that's where I am right now. I'm 1 week's not going to do it. 2 weeks isn't going to do it. I'm going to need to see some sustained success and improvement and a departure from what we've seen in the past until they pull me in and fool me again.
So, boys, before we hit things that we missed, because I do want to hit things that we missed, I want to ask Cam this. And I know, Cam, you didn't really watch the preseason game, but, I mean, I know you are watching this from a different lens. The rest of us are diehard Bears fans. And while you know a lot about this football team, the inner workings of it, you cover this team, you know football, you know, do you feel like this is different than some of those Bears teams that you covered, or do you feel like it's too early and I need to pump the brakes a little bit? What are you kind of feeling about that?
It's gonna be the worst answer you guys get, but, like, I actually do feel both. Like, and I'll explain it this way, in that I do think it's different than other years. Like, I do strongly feel that way. And I think that has to do, at least in my opinion, on expectations. And what I'll say is, like, last year, when, you know, the Justin Fields offense would string together two or three good series in a row, everyone was just like, oh, holy shit, like, this isn't supposed to happen. Like, why is this happening? Like, this doesn't feel real. Like, I didn't expect this, so it's nice, but, like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. And, like, to all your points, this is a great roster. This is as naturally talented as a quarterback as they've had in X amount of years. This is a, you know, we're told, a better coaching staff in terms of modern thinking. Like, the organization has, in theory, from tip to tail, sort of taken a step forward in a way that they haven't in other years. And so I do think expectations should be different now. Like, I do think you should expect a good defense and a good offense and a good rookie quarterback. Like, those are, I don't think it's grasping at straws this year as much as it has in last year. So that's why the excitement, like, I remember Justin Fields lit it up last preseason. And so, like, in that sense, the excitement is always going to be there. I mean, I cover the Raiders for work, and people are stoked about the Raiders right now. Like, right. Like, everyone is sort of has that same butterflies in your stomach where it could be different. Like, oh, like Gardner Minshew was pretty efficient. Like if they keep him clean, that they may be good. Like that happens on every team. So that, and so I don't think that's necessarily new or different or bad, but I do think that the Bears should have higher expectations. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Right? Like you should be better than they were last year. They should make a step forward. Like I think those are all fair expectations in a way that didn't necessarily exist in past seasons. You know, it did it a little bit when Fields was a rookie, but even that wasn't quite the same stature and level. So, yeah, you know, do I think that right now everyone is on their, you know, everyone is just high on their 11-win prediction? Sure, but, like, that's what everyone is right now. So there's certainly that is sort of, I think, on the surface level that exists in the same way that it always has. But I do think it's as legitimate as anything else to believe that the Bears should have higher expectations, because all signs point to them that they should. Like, there's no reason not to.
Boys, anything that we missed before we get to shoutouts?
I'm going to just build off that. This is a very likable team. And this is a team that is finally in the mold of Ryan Poles' vision. The last few years, the last few teams, it's been, I mean, you talk about when Justin Fields was a rookie, it was an old regime trying to hang on and buy themselves more time. And the last 2 years, it was sort of that transition. And now they finally have all of the guys that Ryan Poles wants. They have extended and built around the guys they want to keep, like Cole Kmet, like Jalen Johnson. And it really does feel different in that sense, where everybody's pulling on the same end of the rope. Even the most skeptical beat writers, like our favorite guys like Dan Weider, even they're like, this is different. Like when people like that say that, you know that it actually is different for people who have seen stuff. And look, people like to hate on Weider, people like to hate on certain Bears writers, but at the end of the day, they were right. And I think just there is a different feeling among everybody that this is a new day in Chicago Bears, in the Chicago Bears era. So we'll see if it translates to wins and losses. I can definitely see them starting slow, but you can see the foundation has been set and now it's just building up and up. So I'm very excited for what is going to come this season. And I'll just say this. I'm going to say this a lot this year. There are going to be painful moments. There's going to be a lot of painful losses and painful things that happen during games. And we are going to get mad and we're going to wonder what the hell's going on. The goal is to have more positive moments than painful moments and just look back and hopefully things are a lot more successful, because the pain is going to happen. It just is. So yeah, I don't know. I just going back to like, is this team, you know, is this actually different? I do think it's different in that sense. It needs to translate to wins at some point, but this is a very likable team that's pulling on the same end of the rope.
I just want to mention quickly, new defensive coordinator, Eric Washington, who was with Buffalo. And I thought it was interesting, and I'd like to see how this transpires going forward, but it appeared to me that both Wash and Luce were making defensive calls. And that's not unusual. At times you'll see one guy doing the secondary calls and another guy doing, you know, the linebacker and front seven calls. But I mean, if you go back and look at it, like both of them have their play sheets in front of their faces and both appear to be making some sort of signal calling. Now, I could be totally off on that. I don't know as if there's just the one headset, and maybe I could be completely wrong, but honestly, both of them were like this, like making calls, like in between plays of some sort. And it could be that Fluce was talking to somebody else, but it'd be kind of interesting to see the way in which, because let's face it, the one thing that we all agree on is that Fluce did a pretty nice job from week 7, 8 and on in terms of like defensive play. He caught his rhythm and that defense like was fully turned around. So kind of interesting to see if like Eric Washington is a guy that will, like, it's got to be difficult for someone like Fluce, who was a D coordinator, who clearly has an aptitude for it, to hand that off to somebody else to see how that goes. Also, I'd like to find out where Fluce got his shades. I thought his shades were just like fantastic. Like Gucci, they were nice. Like his beard looked fantastic. I mean, I don't know where he gets that trimmed, but like, I know a lot has been made about his personal appearance, but I thought he just really looked like nice on the sidelines.
Only thing I want to say quickly about Washington is it has I've heard that he is a little bit of a defensive line whisperer, and it could be that Booker is going to do well because of that this season. So we'll kind of see. Shells, anything that we missed that we need to chat about?
Nope. Not for me.
Cam?
No, I'm good.
All right, boys, this has been a fun episode. Let's get to shout-outs. For shout-outs this week, let's go Patrick Sheldon, Cam Ellis, Jack Wright, Brendan Shagrew, and I will finish it up. Shout-outs, boys.
I lied. You did miss something, and that's where my one shout-out is going. To TJ Brooks, the only one on the panel that noticed that I shaved for the occasion. So that's what you missed. Thanks, TJ.
I'm going to shout out everyone that listens to the podcast and is like, why is he screaming as loud as he is? I'm sorry about that. Otherwise, I will shout out my guy, Dan Wiggins. He's the only person that like talks to me on the internet anymore. So we're just little buddies that talk occasionally. So shout out, Dan. Please keep responding to my tweets.
Yeah, peel back the curtain. Cam got a brand new microphone, and we're still figuring out the levels, but we will have it out for the next one. But Cam, you sound crisp and clear, so we got that going for us.
This is so much fancier than I've ever done anything in my whole life, so I'm getting used to the luxuries that the Bear Down Chicago podcast provides for me.
Shout out once again to Jeff C. for just helping us out in so many ways. It's fantastic. We appreciate you. I'm just going to shout out my kids. Shout out to my son, Jack, who I mentioned starting his sophomore year at Mizzou. To my daughter, Peyton, who starts her senior year at Sycamore. Tennis season's underway, and then that'll be followed up by soccer in the spring. And then to my son, Connor, who just had a really major surgery. Some of you know he was born with a cleft lip and palate. He's had, oh my gosh, like I think like 17 surgeries now. So now that he's 18, his face is fully formed. So they were able to realign his jaw, and it was a successful surgery. But the boy was in a lot of pain and lost about 20 pounds, but he's doing better. And I mean, if you know Connor at all, Connor is a whole vibe, and he is just a really cool kid. So shout out to Connor.
He looks great too. Thanks. I mean, I know it sounds painful. It sounds awful, but like, you know, the pictures you shared, like he really does look great. So I'm really glad that things have gone as well as they have. My shout out. So, those who don't know, I got to go to Bears practice a couple weeks ago, with the media for the first time. And I just want to shout out a couple people who were really nice and, you know, took me under their wing, specifically Zach Pearson, the Lewis brothers, Joe and Scott, and then Mark Grody. It was nice to chat with him. I chatted with a lot of people there, but just those few especially were like, hey, here's what to expect here. Here's what you should do here. Like the tip, I think, from the Lewis brothers to like snag one of the press conference seats by like putting something there because they fill up quickly was invaluable, because lo and behold, Caleb Williams was speaking and I wouldn't have gotten a seat. So stuff like that really went a long way. I was very appreciative to them for helping showing the ropes. And then shout out to my guy, Quentin at ButGestats. Got to talk Hard Knocks with them last week, which was a lot of fun. And then Nick at Just Another Year Chicago. We talked a little bit as well last week about Bears edge rushers and who they could potentially get. So definitely shout out to all those guys. A lot of good Bears content creators and reporters out there that I really appreciate.
So Connor, you are an absolute and total badass. If we don't tell you that enough, dude, I mean, anybody that could rock the mullet the way that you do, you are an absolute and utter badass. Brendan Shagrew, I hope you've always felt that we have supported you and given you your flowers when you deserve it. But just, I think I speak for all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Dude, we're like in awe of you, and just it's so cool, dude, to see you get some of the accolades that you have deserved, because we all know you work your ass off, dude. And so that is just incredibly well deserved. And we're really, really happy for you, dude, and just very thankful that you're part of this thing. And so those are my first two shout outs. Now, this next one, you all have to bear with me a little bit. I know some of you that are watching, you see an electronic drum kit and a Gibson guitar, that I rotate every once in a while for aesthetics. But I also really like old school hip hop, like a lot. And so one of our followers, friends, and a guy that I've interacted with on Twitter over the Bears posted some new music. And I was like, you know what, dude, I'm going to check it out. And I got hooked. I can't stop listening to this song. So the artist's name is Stingray and the song is Unbreakable. And so I asked our awesome guy, Beats by Blackie Chan, hey, are you okay if instead of playing your music for our outro, is it okay if I get my guy Stingray in there? And he said, absolutely. And so Stingray is a die-hard Bears fan. So there is that, right? Which is, I think, the coolest thing. And so he gave us a shout-out, so I'm going to give that to you all just real quick. Here we go.
Hey, yo, what up, man? It's your boy Stingray, First Kings Entertainment, chilling with the homie Ryan on the Bear Down Shy podcast. Let's go.
So before we get out of here, I just want to say thank you to all of you for listening. We know you can get your Bears content anywhere, and it is appreciated more than you know. So for Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis, Patrick Sheldon, Jack Wright, Brennan Shagrew, I'm Ryan Dangle, folks. Thank you so much. And as always, Bear Down Chicago. And hey, check out this song from our guy Stingray. The song is called Unbreakable, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, hip hop lives on forever, lives on forever. Hip hop lives on forever. Nobody do it better, Stingray. I hit the world like a sonic boom, boom. Hitting harder than that 13 Seahawk Legion of Boom. Never worry about suckers and what they assume. Never put my back against the wall and let the nine sing a tune. Rest in peace from Prodigy to MF Doom. Hip hop was never dead, I was in a cocoon. The way I spit it, terrific. Flow scientific, the mirror's image is the only equivalent. Before you travel too far, you better pivot. Chi-towns and minutes, we gon' stand on that business. Show in this world of allegations in the net. Fabrication, I maintain spiritual navigation. Never take me alive. This is for my brothers of the same line. I'm unbreakable, unshakable. Even when they said the shot was unmakeable. I'm unbreakable, never take me alive. This is for my brothers of the same line. I'm unbreakable, unshakable. Even when they said the shot.